what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And joining me as always, he's going to have a better Memorial Day than you, and you know it, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. What's up, Jordan?
Eddie, it's great to see you. It's great to be here. I will have a better Memorial Day than you. I will be at Disneyland with probably everyone else that will be at Disneyland on that day, but I am excited. I've got some big plans this week. We're going to Washington, D.C., and then I'm going over to California. But before we get to that, Eddie, you can find us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. And Eddie, we've got a quick show tonight, right? And we're going to talk to Calvin Kattar. He's coming on the path of the main event of UFC Austin. He is going to join us. We're talking all about that fight. And then we're going to give some time back. Stu Myrick, Justin Simmons, sports guy, talking wrestling. Lots going on in the wrestling world.
Yeah, they're going to have a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
And I say we are going to have a lot to talk about because I'll be there with them.
Perfect. I always love when there are Eddie Cross-filled sports guys talking wrestling.
That's right. It makes it so much better.
All right, Eddie. Anything else? What do we need to know about you? Give us 1 minute of the life of Eddie Cross right now.
I am a great uncle. My niece is turning 15 this week. And as you know, she's a huge Sasha Banks fan. And despite everything that's going on right now, I commissioned for her some hand-decorated Sasha Banks cookies for her 15th birthday. And you can find those on our Instagram, at Fight Night ATX, made by my friend Annette, at Annette Crocker on Instagram. So if you're looking for someone to do some custom baked goods for you, you can hit her up right there.
Well, that's awesome, Eddie. And unfortunately, those need to be Mercedes Varnado cookies soon because it sounds like she's going to be all elite. So, Eddie, lots of fights this weekend. Eagle FC, you had UFC. Now, I'm going to bet, Eddie, you're going to be surprised to know that I watched Eagle FC.
I'm shocked and appalled.
I did. I watched Hector Lombard and Thiago Silva. And then I watched the main event, Jorgen De Castro versus Junior Dos Santos. And, you know, I was actually surprised. I actually enjoyed it. I thought there was kind of a lot going on in the booth with Cejudo and Chael and Kamaru. I think it was one other person as well. But overall, I mean, it's a pretty good presentation.
Yeah, an actual broadcaster. Cejudo needs to have the microphone taken away from him. Chael and Usman are pretty decent. And let's just jump into this, man. We talked about it last week with the Rockets fight. If someone gets injured in a non-contact way, that should be a no contest. Junior Dos Santos literally threw his shoulder out of socket throwing a punch that did not land. And the fight's ended and called a TKO. How is that a technical knockout? He was winning this fight the whole time, too. And had he won this fight, it would have almost guaranteed a co-promoted Bellator PFL event or Bellator Eagle event, where he would face off with Fedor Emelianenko, and I was so excited for that.
Do you think that this, because he loses, right, because he throws a punch and he loses, I don't necessarily think that he loses that fight against Fedor, because you don't actually lose anything out of this fight, and you could still promote this as Junior Dos Santos versus, you know, Fedor. The way that this fight doesn't work is if Junior gets knocked out, because then you know, okay, he doesn't have it. But the fact that Junior was winning this fight, and he just, you know, he did it to himself, and I get the TKO versus no contest, and at the end of the day, you know, I don't care. But I don't think that we lose the Fedor fight. We don't lose the Fedor fight because of the way the fight ended.
Well, it all depends on Scott Coker and Bellator, but also when you get to the point where you can just throw your shoulder out of socket by throwing a punch, does someone else want to promote a fight with you?
Yeah.
Do they want to deal with that possibility?
Yeah. I mean, if you think Fedor's just going to knock him out, maybe you do.
Maybe.
Yeah. In the co-main event, Hector Lombard, he had that no contest with Thiago Silva. Man, that
was an actual no contest.
That was a vicious knee. That was a blatant illegal knee. I was surprised that that wasn't a DQ because there was no, like, there was intention behind that.
Yeah. And for some reason, who was it? Was it Chael or Usman kept calling it unintentional? I'm like, no, he threw the knee on purpose.
Well, Chael was interesting. He's like, is this unintentional? I'm not sure because the ref hasn't deemed it. Like the ref didn't stand and take a point away. And so that's why he wasn't sure like what was going to happen in that. So I was surprised to see Thiago Silva. I thought there were some like legal issues a while ago with Thiago Silva. So I was surprised to see him back in there. And especially against Hector Lombard. It seemed like Thiago Silva hadn't fought in a long time.
Yeah, and he kind of fought like it because he apparently forgot you can't knee someone when they're down.
Yeah. No, that was
basically we got Aljamained.
Yeah.
I'm coining that term now.
Except we didn't get the DQ.
Yes.
Yeah. So exactly. That was Friday night. That was Eagle FC. I think those are really the only two main things that we wanted just to mention.
Yeah, I blinked and I missed the Maki Patolo knockout of Doug Usher.
Yeah, 30 marks. Seconds. He fought as well. But overall, I want to just get down to UFC Fight Night 206. That was a little controversial. I thought Holly Holm won that fight. I thought Holly Holm with a win would be able to fight the winner of Juliana Pena versus Amanda Nunes. But gosh, man, this changes everything.
I agree. And I thought she won that fight, but I thought she did not fight like Holly Holm. She fought like Randy Couture on his second stint as UFC champion with all the kind of dirty boxing and wrestling against the cage. And I'm like, that's not her. She's a kickboxer. I think if she was able to do her thing, she might have shown, or the judges would have had an easier time seeing that she was winning this fight.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not sure what they were looking at.
Tough thing is, Holly Holm, 40 years old, but she hasn't fought for 2 years. And so maybe that's the Holly Holm that we have now. And that's what makes it tough.
You do
to
get
see.
Old fast in the sport.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie, you know, we're right up there as well.
Yeah, yeah. I've been old for a long time, so I don't understand it anymore.
Obviously, a big win for Ketlin Vieira. She called out the champion afterwards. I mean, obviously, that's, you know, who knows, right? Who knows? I mean, anyone could really fight. It depends on what happens with Amanda Nunes versus Juliana Pena, but, you know, really.
And we'll talk about that in a second.
The fight could go anyway. Now she's got two wins in a row, Holly Holm and Misha Tate. So I guess you have wins over two former champions.
Yeah.
That does
and she's
sense.
Got the power to make a difference in a fight. So it could be interesting when it happens if someone doesn't hold her against the cage for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like Holly Holm did. Also, she needs to be able to get off the cage if you're going to win one of those fights.
I mean, either way, I think it's a touch matchup, especially against Nunes, but also probably against Juliana Pena. How Agreed. About that Michelle Pajeda versus Ponce Nibio? Another split decision.
Yeah, this one was kind of fun to watch. You forget how big Pajeda is. I mean, you look at this fight, and if you don't realize it's welterweight, you think they're like light heavyweights just because of how big he is. And with his size and reach advantage, it should be better than a split decision. But cheers. Good job by Ponce Nibio for keeping it that close.
And you've got to think that this fight is now, or excuse me, that Pajeda is now going to be ranked. Ponce Nibio, he came into this fight, he was ranked 14th. And so I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I would love to see maybe, you know, what happens with Michelle Pajeda next. You know, another step up in competition for him. Chidi Nojikawanu, that elbow.
Ooh. That was vicious.
Yeah, congratulations to him. Chase Hooper, I watched that fight too, man. He looked good on the ground.
Yeah, he looked aggressive. Very not Ben Askren-like.
Yeah, especially I think that's what happens when you lose the hair.
Yeah, he's all grown up now.
Yeah. Also, did you see my boy, Eric Anders, he got the loss.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that alone.
Yeah. Anderson Silva, remember last week we talked that the Anderson Silva boxing match, Floyd Mayweather also boxing, that was canceled. Looks like they rescheduled it, and it happened last week. Eddie, tell us about Anderson Silva.
Yeah, what they call it, the showdown in the skies, I believe?
Gosh.
On a helipad.
I think they moved it, though. Didn't they move it to? Okay, yeah.
I think they had to, yeah. But, yeah, Anderson Silva faced off against fellow Brazilian Bruno Machado, and technically it wasn't scored because it was both him and Mayweather fights were both exhibitions. And they both kind of went the same way. Both the main participants, Silva and Mayweather, both scored knockdowns. And DAZN scored both fights themselves, scored both of them, 79-72 for Silva and Mayweather. Yeah. So Silva looked really good. His hands are just as fast. You can see a video of his knockdown on our Instagram, at FightNightATX. And I don't even want to say this next part, so I'll let you do it.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is, you know, maybe since he looked pretty good, he's probably earned himself a spot. Eddie earned himself a spot against Jake Paul. Did you see that video? I think Jake Paul put out a video of, just a picture online of him as a spider pest control guy.
It earned a fight against
Jake
Paul.
I know it pains you. I know.
I'm going to cuss on air. Stop it.
You can't do that. Stop. Hey, let's jump into some news, Eddie. Let's do it. Obviously, we got a ton of news going on over the last week. What do you got for me?
Jordan, it's official. UFC 277 in Dallas has its main event, and it's on fire. What's up with that?
Yeah, so we knew that Kaikar France versus Brandon Moreno for the interim flyweight championship was probably not going to be the main event in Dallas. But they announced on Saturday night that Amanda Nunes versus Juliana Pena is going to headline the fight. So this is the rematch. This is for the bantamweight title. This is after Tough. And so we will have some more clarity on what's going to happen with the future of the bantamweight division. This fight's happening at the American Airlines Arena Saturday, July 30th in Dallas. I don't think tickets have gone on sale, but it's actually shaping up to be a really strong card. You know, we mentioned Brandon Moreno versus Kaikar France. That's the co-main. We've got Magomed Ankalaev versus Anthony Smith, Paulo Costa versus Luke Rockhold, and then the Black Beast Derek Lewis versus Sergey Pavlovich. You know, that's a pretty strong main card right there.
And you're gonna miss it, but I'll be there for us.
I'm sad.
Jordan, Conor McGregor has been dethroned as one of the world's highest paid athletes. What's up with that?
Yeah, so Conor McGregor, he was number one last year on the highest paid athletes in 2021 after he earned $180 million from fights and from the sale of that proper number 12 whiskey brand. But in the latest Forbes list that was released last week, Conor came in at number 35 on the list. He earned $43 million, with 33 coming from fight purses. Both fights were with Dustin Poirier. And then he earned another $10 million for endorsements and sponsorship deals. Now, Conor's the only MMA fighter on the list. But, Eddie, fellow combat sports star and YouTuber Jake Paul, he actually made his first appearance on the list, number 46. He earned $38 million, and that includes $30 million for fight purses and then another $8 million from endorsement deals and sponsorship deals. That's kind of sad that he made $30 million in fights.
This is how I know karma isn't real. I'm just saying. Tony Ferguson still wants to compete with Khabib Nurmagomedov. Jordan, what's up with that?
Yeah, so Tony spoke with Errol Hawani last week and was talking just kind of about kind of recapping the fight, the loss obviously to Michael Chandler, the brutal knockout that we saw. But he said, look, I'm still interested in fighting Khabib. And if Khabib doesn't want to fight, then let's do something else. And he actually threw out the opportunity of coaching against him in The Ultimate Fighter. And thinking that, hey, maybe we could coach together. There could be some coaches' challenges. Khabib actually responded and said, hey, yeah, let's get it done. I'm interested in that. If you can make that happen, Khabib or Tony, let's do it. Talk to your bosses. But if not, I've got an opportunity for you in Eagle FC now. You would think that Khabib would want some money to do that. And I don't think the UFC would actually be interested. But I wouldn't mind. Would you be interested? Would you watch Tough if it was Khabib and Tony?
No. But if they went bowling or played pool, I'd watch that. Get him in some bar games.
Tony said he wanted to play Dagestani basketball.
What makes it Dagestani?
That's when they don't dribble. They just kind of travel everywhere and kind of wrestle and beat each other up.
I'm down. All right, now, Jordan. Lastly, the PFL announced a pay-per-view split with fighters. What? What's up with that?
Yeah, so the PFL, founder Don Davis, he told people last week that there's going to be an upcoming pay-per-view series that will take place every quarter. I think they're going to start with two, actually. And they're going to have a revenue share with the fighters. And it's going to be 50-50. He said that Kayla Harrison is going to be is the first fighter that's going to be signed to this series. And he says, like, look, we are interested in being the other promotion that's going to do pay-per-view fights. Obviously, we know the UFC does it. He said, starting 2023, outside of the league format, we're going to put on two super fights. As of today, we're open for business, but we're going to do two things different. Just as we disrupted before, fighters will be true economic partners in the fights, 50-50 for pay-per-view shares. They will share 50% of the revenue for the pay-per-view fights. Never has this happened in the history of MMA. And so that's interesting. I think that's a good opportunity for fighters, but I just don't know what fights you could put on that would sell at what price point. So I'm really interested to hear more. What's the price point going to be, and what are the type of fights? And maybe if it's like a $10 fight, maybe for like a Kayla Harrison for two fights or something, that would be interesting. So I'm interested in hearing more details about it.
And the question is, who's going to headline them? And speaking of the PFL, Jordan, Alex Rodriguez signed on this week as an investor and a member of the board of directors.
Okay, cool.
So going forward, he's going to help kind of get these things sold and use his contacts to make these events bigger.
Yeah, that could help, you know, as they're trying to drive that. So, hey, just Eddie, just two fights, right? So we mentioned Amanda Nunes versus Julian Pena, Aspen Ladd versus Sarah McMahon. So that's really what's kind of going on. Eddie, let's stop there. Guys, we're going to come back. I'm going to talk to Calvin Kattar all about his fight on June 18th at the Moody Center. That's UFC Austin. Tickets are still on sale. Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back. Joining us now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, one half of the main event on June 18th at the brand new Moody Center in Austin, Texas, the number 4 ranked featherweight in the world, Calvin Kattar. Calvin, welcome back to Fight Night.
Thanks for having me.
Last time we talked, it was backstage at UFC San Antonio for RDA versus Leon Edwards, so it's great to speak with you again.
Yeah, never miss an opportunity to go to these Texas events. My sister married a cowboy a couple years back, and she's actually due to have her baby this week or next week. So, yeah, really excited about that. First time uncle.
Nice. Well, congratulations to you. That's awesome. So I know you were in Houston not too long ago, earlier in the year, and Texas treats you well.
Yeah, I love me some Texas, man. Anytime I get a chance to go out there, you know, especially tap into some of that barbecue, it's always a good time.
Well, hey, hopefully they will have some Franklin barbecue back there for you after the fight. Something good, you know. I know leading up to it, it's not fun, but after the fight, you better get some good food there.
Yeah, you ain't lying, man. I'll be out there anyway for at least an extra week, seeing my newborn nephew. So. We'll be getting some good eating on the tail end of the fight anyway.
Nice. Well, I want to make sure people know tickets are on sale right now at Ticketmaster, or you can go to the Moody Center box office. Calvin, you're a member of the New England Cartel. Now, the Bruins are in the playoffs. The Celtics, yes, they might be on their way to an NBA title. I don't like saying that, but you got Mac Jones. You got the Patriots. The Red Sox, they're not playing very well, but it's a good time to be a Boston sports fan.
Yeah, for sure. It's really... You know, for the last couple decades, it's been, I don't want to rub it in,
I know,
but last couple decades, yeah. You know, come on.
It's been,
you know, right now it's, you know, with the loss of Tom Brady, you know, you got the New England Cartel. We're trying to fill some big shoes around here, give some people something to be excited about. And through the pandemic, the UFC's grown so much. So we're excited with the opportunity to go out and just, you know, capture some of that Boston crowd, that Boston support, because there's no fans better than the New England fans, in my opinion.
Yeah,
no, I know I'm losing a lot of Texan fans saying that, but Texas is a close number two now that my sister lives there.
There you go. That's you are now endearing yourself to the Texas crowd by that, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's one game now. They're gonna have to. It makes watching sports a little awkward sometimes, you know, with her cowboy husband JC, but. You know, it's all in good fun, man. And, that baby's going to be a big one, I'm sure.
Yeah,
everything's awesome. Bigger in Texas.
Well, let's make it like clear, right? So the New England Cartel, the number one franchise in Boston, right? But close second, who's a close second? What's the vibe of the city right now? Is it the Celtics? Is it,
Really right now it's Celtics are getting after it. You know, what is it? Game 5 tonight?
Yeah. Game 5 tonight, 2-2.
I wish I could watch it. I'll be training, but I'll be watching the highlights after the game, and I'm pulling for them. They got a young squad, but they got some good energy going, and it's exciting. I mean, hopefully, you know, we're all behind them. That's how it works, you know. Supportive, of next, and right now it's the Celtics, and then following that, hopefully, you know, people will be tuning in for me. I know when I last fought in January. The Patriots, I didn't get to tune in until the fourth quarter. I was in the hospital after the fight getting my checkup. Out, I believe, by the Bills, right? Unfortunate, but it was between the both of them. You know, halftime, I fought right at halftime, so it was a nice little break. But, yeah, Boston sports fan through and through.
There you go. Well, hey, you mentioned it right now. You're going to be training tonight. And I was wondering, so you're a month away from your fight against Josh Emmett. What does camp look like? Like, what are you doing right now in camp to, what do we do a month away?
Just dialing in, man. You know, at this point, we're just ramping things up. You know, we're always moving on this side. We're never completely out of camp. We're always moving. But at this point now, things are ramped up and, plans pretty much set in stone. And now we're just getting in lots of reps making sure that we're fine-tuned, ready to go, and not thinking too much come fight night, letting things just come out, second nature, just kind of reactively.
Awesome. So Josh,
nonstop, a lot of hands on deck.
Nice. Josh is ranked 7th, and I know often you want to fight up in the rankings. You're ranked number 4, he's ranked number 7. Was he someone that was on your radar, right? Were you looking at somewhere else, or did you see like, hey, this is probably the next guy in line based on kind of who you fought already?
I mean, not that I pay so much attention to him. More so, I just focus on myself, but it's a possibility. I think I'm going to fight all these guys eventually. In what order, I don't know. So as far as I'm concerned, my day-to-day is just focusing on myself, improving my weaknesses and strengths, and just becoming a complete fighter, 1% better every day. And by the time I step in there, because injuries are a real thing, Josh, knock on wood, could get hurt. Maybe they fill him in with someone else. So for me to spend all my energy and focus on just Josh would be, kind of a mistake. But at the same time, you got to pay him his respect. He's, he's the one that we're scheduled to go against. So you're mindful of what he does good. And should the event happen that he shows up and it is the actual fight, but how many times in this game do opponents switch if you're banking on one, just your opponent, not really focusing on just making him react to you, then I think it's a mistake. So just really is just focusing on being as ready for as possible for whoever I step in there against.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. You fought all over the world, and this is your first time in the UFC headlining an event with fans in the US. So I know that you've done it in Abu Dhabi. I know there are fans there, but this is the first time you're at the Apex earlier this year. So this is like in a full arena. Like, what's your expectation for that? Right. That, I mean, you sounds like you're going to have family there. You got family. JC's probably going to be there. So the rest of the family is going to be there. How do you like envision that night?
Just me getting my hand raised. That's how I always envision it. I don't know how it's going to get done, but by any means necessary, I'm going to do my job to get my hand raised. And, that's really mostly all I focus on. The crowd will be a nice touch. But post-fight, I'll be able to take that kind of all in. But leading in, I try not to focus on much else other than just the fight. My manager, Coach Tyson Charter, he talks about the fans being in there and how special it's going to be. And he's right. It's going to be. But it's just not my focus. I'm focused on the fight itself. And just doing what I can to control the outcome day in, day out until fight night.
Awesome. Your last few fights have been on TV, right? So either ESPN or ABC. So as opposed to like ESPN Plus, this fight, it sounds like it's going to be on ESPN as well. That's got to give you confidence. Like the UFC knows, like if they want someone to deliver where, I remember, if you remember Uriah Faber used to talk about, hey, he wanted to be on the prelims of a period because the ESPN would have the most people watching. How does that make you feel? You got to feel good that the UFC has confidence. Like, hey, we need to put a caliber fighter who's going to deliver and they're going to go to you.
No, I like that, man. And that's definitely something that, like I said, probably Tyson, my coach, manager, he focuses on. And for me, I'm focused on the fight, man. As crazy as that sounds, it's the only thing that my focus is on. It's great to be on ESPN. It's great to have fans. It's great to be a main event. But if this was a prelim fight, if this was the first fight of the night, second fight of the night, I don't care, man. I'm trying to go out there, get my hand raised, and then get me some barbecue.
Yeah.
No.
There you go.
That's my focus.
So you have an honorary, probably New England Cartel member, but a Boston OG, Joe Lauzon. It looks like he's going to be fighting on the card. You've trained there at Lauzon MMA. What does that mean? I mean, this could be his last fight. What does it mean, though? You guys have fought on the same card together before, but, does it mean anything special to kind of be there and have Joe in the building?
Yeah, it's going to be great, man. He's, like you said, he's a New England OG. And, who knows if it'll be his last fight. I thought the last one was going to be his last fight in Boston at home, getting a W the way he did. Great job getting the hand raised. And I think it was like a first round finish in Joe fashion, exciting performance. So you really just never know. And we'll see, man, but it's going to be a hell of a fight. I'm excited for that one. And just all the more reason to go out there and put on a hell of a show.
Yeah, I was pumped too when they added that that fight to the card. You're listening to UFC featherweight Calvin Kattar on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Calvin's fighting Josh Emmett in the main event of UFC Austin on June 18th at the brand new Moody Center. Tickets are on sale now. Calvin, I want to switch gears a little bit. I've got a 13-year-old son, and recently we've been getting back into sports cards. And I think it's awesome that the UFC has sports cards, right? So Prism just came out. Is that something that you have been interested in? Have you bought any of your cards at all? Have you collected any of them?
I haven't bought any, but I've been given some by some fans for me to sign, and it's pretty cool. You know, it's nice for them to do that. I've been given some from a few people, but I try to sign some of them, make them worth more money for some people that send them in. But no, it's pretty cool to be on a card as well as inside the video game. You know, these are cool life goals that, you know, that are coming to fruition, man. It's pretty exciting. And well, one day I'll take it all in. But for right now, I'm too busy living in the moment and trying to make more of these big opportunities happen.
I love it. I love that you, I mean, I'm not trying to get you out of your element, right? I'm not trying to talk about other things in the fight, but I love how fired up you are about this fight, about Josh Emmett, and living in the moment. I want to go back real quick just to Giga Chikadze and that last fight. You know, it felt like people, you know, the media was probably responsible too, right? For, you know, looking past you and trying to, you know, vault Giga into a title shot. Did you feel like, hey, yeah, people are disrespecting me, people are counting me out? And did you kind of take that into that fight when you were when you're out there?
Yeah, more locker room material for me. You know, he was calling out the champ of the week of our fight, overlooking me, and as if I didn't have enough motivation coming off the Max fight. I was hungry, and then his comments didn't help, and you know, let alone everyone else overlooking me. But you know, it's nothing I'm not used to. And I was just happy the way it worked out. You know, hard work pays off, and it's nice when that happens, because there's some tough people in the UFC, and it's a game of inches. But you know, it's nice when hard work pays off, and staying humble. You know, head down, putting in the work, and it's just good when it pays off. But yeah, a lot of hard work went in, long one to prepare. And no one really gave me a shot. And, you know, to say I'm sure Emmett might be somewhere under this one, and people might be counting him out too. So I'm aware of that mindset and how dangerous that is. So they might all be overlooking him and counting him out, but not me, you know. So I'm focused on whatever I got to do to get my hand raised. And we're going to have a phone on our hands June 18th.
You mentioned locker room material, and I love that, right? I love that, the idea that, you know, you pin that up there. Is there anything out there right now? Is there any locker room material that you have that's fired up, that's driving you on this fight right now?
Well, if there was, I wouldn't give it to you. But even if there was, it's like, if there wasn't, I'd create some, you know? you know, the greats find a way to get a chip on their shoulder no matter what. Like, Tom Brady, seven championships now. How the hell does he find a chip on his shoulder? You know, guy's done it all. He does it because they don't think he can do it again. And he just makes in his head, in my opinion, you know, sometimes, or he's too old or this, that, you know, there's always something to get fired up about. And if it's not the haters, then there's something to be fired up about for the people that support you, proving them right, you know, and changing their life. Cause every win is a moment, you know, to change your life. It's a six figure on the other side of that win side. So, you know, I'm chasing the life from the other side of a win to what I could, you know, provide to, you know, my family and my circle, people around me, my team, my family. So chasing that win side is enough motivation for me for locker room material if I can't get some from the public or my opponent.
Nice. So, you know, you're chasing that win right now. What does that win, besides a great week of barbecue, a great week of spending it with family, what does that that win do? I mean, obviously the UFC just booked Volkanovski versus Holloway 3. What do you have to do? You're ranked fourth. What do you have to do now after this to get that title shot?
It's a good question. I just know the win, I'll be one step closer. And if you keep winning, they can't deny you. That was my mindset getting into the UFC, and that'll be my mindset trying to get me a title fight, is just keep winning.
Well, Calvin, we are excited, man. I'm pumped. I will be there on June 18th at the Moody Center. I can't wait to see you there. Appreciate the time. Guys, go get your tickets. If you haven't been to a UFC event live, Calvin Cato is going to deliver. He delivered every time.
You're damn right.
I cannot wait, man. Hey, thanks for the time today, and we'll see you on fight night.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good one. Looking forward to it.
All right, really interesting stuff from Calvin Cato. It makes me interested in this fight even more. June 18th, Moody Center. Calvin Cato versus Josh Emmett. That's a battle of the featherweights.
Is it weird that I want to see who's going to be the first person to actually spill blood in the Moody Center?
Wow, that could be interesting. I mean, I don't think it's going to be those guys because you got other fights before that, right? We've got Donald Cerrone versus Joe Lozon. You've got Tim Means versus Kevin Holland. Sure. There's some fun fights on that fight card, so I'm actually really excited about that fight. And we will be there. We will be in the building. But before we get there, Eddie, obviously, there's some boxing. So the UFC, there's no fights this weekend. They are taking the weekend. They're taking Memorial Day off. I'm going to be at Disneyland. They're not bringing fights this weekend. Eddie, there's some boxing, though.
Yeah, there's no MMA at all. But if you got to get your combat sports fix, Saturday, Showtime pay-per-view, Gervonta Tank Davis defends his WBA lightweight title against Roland Romero. This fight was supposed to take place last year in December, Jordan. But unfortunately, Romero had a little assault case.
Never good.
Which was subsequently dropped. So we have to go with what the court's saying. Call him, he's innocent until proven guilty. So innocent now. So Davis had to fight a replacement. But now this fight is back on, and this is the fight that they've both been looking for. And it's in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, where Davis won his other two titles, so it's kind of a home court advantage for him. So this should be a pretty good fight. And then the co-main event, two-division world champ Arislandi, the American Dream Laura, will defend his WBA middleweight title against Ireland's Spike O'Sullivan.
Nice.
That sounds like just a guy that's just going to fight you in a bar, doesn't it? Spike O'Sullivan.
Yeah, it definitely does. So, well, hey, like that should be character. Fun. So we will be back. So, guys, next week we will be off. We will not be on the air. We're going to get you're going to get double dose of Sports Guy talking wrestling. And this week you're going to get a double dose of Eddie Cross because, Eddie, you're coming up right now with Stu Myrick, Justin Simmons on Sports Guy talking wrestling.
Oh, we got lots to go over.
Nice. Well, hey, guys, thank you so much for listening. Enjoy your week. Enjoy Memorial Day. Be safe. Have fun. Guys, follow us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, and tell your friends. We are proud to be the MMA show of Texas.
Hey, be safe, be nice to each other, stay positive, and love your life. And if we ever didn't thank you, let us do it now.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.